Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
You're probably like my wife and like myself. We have both had these moments in our lives when we were kids where we went to the convenience store. For me, it was JCPenney's. I'm not sure where it was for my wife. We recounted this story this week. And we, young Noah, and we went to the convenience store. And we, you know, we were in there with our parents. And we decided to play a game of hide and go seek that we never let them in on. Anybody ever did that before? For me, I would always do it when we got to the women's clothing section. And I would hide myself underneath the dresses of the ladies. And so not the real ladies, the mannequins. Let me just let me be real clear on that. And I would go, you know, hide myself in the dresses on the mannequins, and my mom couldn't find me, and I thought it was a fun game. And so this one day, my fun turned to fear, where I couldn't see my mom, and I looked around every corner, and I couldn't find my mom, and then I started crying for my mom, and there was such a distance created that she couldn't hear my voice. What was even harder about Brittany's story was that she had that same panic. She played hide and go seek, didn't tell her mom she was playing hide and go seek. But then she saw someone who looked like her mother, had the same coat. And so she started to pull at the trench coat of somebody who had a similar coat to her mom. And when the lady turned around, it was not her mother. And it is, as you can imagine, as you just felt, one of the scariest things as a young kid to pull on the coat of somebody who is not your parent but is a stranger. Because you yourself got lost due to your own decisions.
Yeah. Come on.
We ourselves have been lost because of our own decisions. And our fun has turned to fear because, as Isaiah says, our sin has created a separation between child and parent. And what we have done is we have turned to someone who looked like dad because it seemed good. It seemed like pleasure. It seemed like a good time, a fun time, an enjoyable time, only to realize that when we pulled on the trench coat, it was not our father. It was the father of lies, Satan himself. The Bible says that we come into this world dead in our trespasses and sins. And we follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, and that is Satan, the devil himself. We didn't just pull on his trench coat. We decided to make him our parent. This is why Jesus would tell the Israelites who did not believe in Jesus that your father is not God. Your father is Satan himself. And you need to know that you are not adopted simply by your natural birth. You are adopted by your supernatural birth. And if you have not yet had a supernatural birth, your father is the devil still to this day. And it's a scary thing when you pull on the trench coat of Satan and you begin to follow him in the store called life. Yeah. In this particular pericope, in this parable, this young son has done just that. He had a father who loved him, a father who cared for him, but because of his own decision, because he wanted to have fun, there was a separation that was created between parent and child. And the rest of this parable is all about what happens when this son comes to his senses and returns back to the father that loved him from the beginning? My prayer is that you would see your extravagant dad. There are only two points in this whole passage: extravagant mercy and extravagant grace. Extravagant mercy and extravagant grace. Why don't you join me in just looking at extravagant mercy from the first few verses of this passage? And extravagant mercy can be broken down based on what the Father doesn't do in response to the rebellion of the Son. I'll say that again. Extravagant mercy is seen in what the Father doesn't do in response to the rebellion of the Son. The first thing we see is that He fields His rebellious request. He fields His rebellious request. Look at verse 11. And He said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. I don't know if you've lived in a household like mine, but in my household, when we got disrespectful, we got disrespected. In my household, if you want to talk at the mouth, you will get smacked in the mouth. In my household, there was a time where I wanted to go and start charging at my mom, not to physically hurt her, but started yelling and making advances to her, to which she advanced towards me and beyond me and threw me up against the wall. My mom, 5'2", threw me up against the wall and said, boy. Anybody ever had to hear boy? Boy, if you ever raise your voice against me again, I will break you off on this here wall to the degree that you will not be able to remember what happened to you. And my mom was crazy with hers, and I'll call child services for you. Anybody ever have a mom like that? Told you they would call child services for you.
Right.
In my house, when you got disrespectful, you got disrespected.
Yeah.
And in this culture, what seems rough coming from a black mom is light work in comparison to what should happen to a son who started running his mouth like this. As I said last week, him coming to his father and asking for the property for his father's will early would have been like requesting that his dad die prematurely. And a son being that disrespectful based on the Levitical law would actually be stoned. In other words, it would not simply be grounds for termination of the will, but it would be grounds for termination of the one who was written in it. And yet, the father does not smack him. He does not raise his voice against him. He does not call the entire community to come and stone him. He simply fields his rebellious requests. Do you know it's merciful of God just to listen to you?
Wow.
You start running at your mouth, start saying what God should do or should have done. Do you know it's merciful and patient for God to simply let you talk to him that way? Extravagant mercy is found in the fact that he fielded his rebellious request. But the next thing is not just that he fielded it, but he also fulfilled his rebellious request. Do you know the most countercultural thing in this entire parable? The thing that would have shocked a Jewish listener, the thing that would have literally made them stop Jesus in his tracks and say, you can't move on in this story, is not simply what the son says, but is actually the fact that the father complied. The text says when the son started running his mouth, stank, nasty, rebellious mouth. It's my part. The text says he divided his property between them. He fulfilled his rebellious request. Do you know that God is so wise that sometimes he will withhold from you something that you want in order for you to, and hear me, in order for you to avoid having to learn the hard lesson that is actually him that you need. But sometimes God will give you what you want,
yeah.
in order that you learn the lesson that you actually don't want that, you need him. Can you hear me in here? There are times where God will withhold it, and there are times when God will not. I don't know if you remember the two words that I said tagged this whole entire part of the text, and it was simply in the phrase, give me. The son comes to his father, and you can sum up all of 11 through 16 in give me. If that is what is coming from the son, then what is coming from the father is have it. Have it. Take it. Go ahead. Do you. Since you want to do you, I'm going to let you do you. And this leads to the last point of extravagant mercy. And not only am I going to fulfill your rebellious request, but I'm actually going to fund your rebellion.
Ooh. Wow. My God.
Notice this text. It says, not many days later. This is nuts, yo. The younger son, and this is actually in the Greek, like, this is the ESV trying to make sense of what's being said. It says, it gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Now, in Greek, the pronoun he is not found. It's not gathered all that he had. It's simply gathered everything. And I think Jesus says this on purpose, because the stuff that he thinks is his ain't really his in the first place.
Right. Come on. Yeah.
If you remember just one verse before this, he has to come to his dad in order to get property that he can squander.
Wow.
He needs his dad's property in order to have property that he can squander that came from his dad.
Right. Wow.
This reminds me, of Jonah. You remember Jonah? Jonah went to a distant country. Language of the text is exactly the same. So far that it was almost as though it was on the other side of the world. And Jonah rebels against God, thinking that he can somehow run away from the God who created the world. This is foolishness, but this is how rebellion works. Jonah used the legs that God gave in order to run to a land that God made, hop on a boat that was made from the wood, from the trees that God made, on water that God definitely made, in order to run from the God who's telling him to go to the place called Nineveh. Can I just say something to you as a human being?
Yeah.
If you need his resources to run away from him, you're probably running away from the wrong him. This is as like dumb as using a school bus to skip school. Using an ambulance to run from the hospital. When I was a young boy, I will never forget this. I caught myself running away from home because I had a friend of mine whose parents were more lenient. Dad was in the military. He was a little bit more strict. So my friend had a parent. We used to call him Poppy. He was way more lenient. He used to play video games all day. He used to have real parties in middle school, house parties in middle school. He was cool with all that. So I said, you know what? Tired of all this stuff. Next time my dad say something wild, I'm running away to Poppy's house. So my dad asked me to do the dishes, and I ain't feel like doing the dishes that day. So I said, Dad, not today. Now, I said it from a distance. So I knew I had running space. Anybody done crazy stuff? I knew I had running space. But to my surprise, my dad did not chase me. You know it gets scarier when they don't like react fast.
Yeah.
He didn't chase me. Didn't say anything. He literally just sat there for a second. He just gave me one of these. The next words out of his mouth, he said, you know you got to leave now then, right? Since you ain't going to comply with my commands, you know you got to get out of here. I said, Dad, I'm glad you said that because I know exactly where I'm going. My dad said, cool. The door is right there. I only got one thing for you though. When you leave, only bring what your money paid for. So I remember going upstairs to my room. And I remember, I looked at my TV. I said, Dad, no, I ain't pay for that, Joe. Looked at my PlayStation. Dad, he bought that for me for Christmas. That's crazy. I get my clothes. Dad, I ain't pay for my shirts, my drawers. Dad, I ain't even pay for my socks. I started looking around the entire room. I realized, I ain't pay for a damn thing in here. I came back downstairs. I said, Dad, I know I'm punished. I'm sorry, but I'm asking for mercy. And my father taught me a great lesson that day. He said, how you gonna run away from me when I'm the one who's been taking care of you?
Wow.
It's a dangerous thing to rebel against the one who has to fund your rebellion.
Right.
And is this not what we do as human beings? Atheists. So now what do you do?
Yeah.
Atheist saying, God is immoral, using the moral conscience that the immoral God gave you. Or atheist saying it's unreasonable to believe in God, using the mind that God gave you to reason that it is unreasonable to believe in that God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We use the heart that God gave to hate him with the heart that he gave us. We use the breath that God gave to curse the God that we're using the breath to curse him with.
Yeah.
We use God's free will to rebel freely against his will. When you have to be resourced in your running by the one you're running from, you're probably running from the wrong person. He funded his rebellion. Do you know that your rebellion is funded by God? God says that he allows rain to rain on the just and the unjust. That even the unjust get wealthy because of the gifts God has provided and then use their wealth in order to turn a blind eye to the God who gave them the wealth in the first place. Everything you have has come from God. So why use what he gave you in order to run from him? Matter of fact, how insane is it to have to use the wealth that he gave you in order to run from the one who made you wealthy? It is complete insanity to be resourced in your running by the one you're running from. So please stop your running. But the most counterintuitive, countercultural, seemingly counterproductive aspect of this entire text is that an extravagant father complied. It shouldn't haunt you that God will stop you from doing what you want to do. It should haunt you that God will allow it.
My God.
This picture of this father is a picture of God's free will. And he will allow you in his mercy to freely rebel against him. Extravagant mercy. The next portion of the text is extravagant grace. I want you to notice what happens in the text. It says, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, I want to remind you that this son was once entitled. Y'all know what entitlement is. Entitlement is when you make demands out of somebody who should be making demands out of you.
Right.
So he's coming to his father. He's making these demands, entitled as he is. And can I just say as a side note real quick, we are naturally in this country given over to entitlement because we have a syncretism with the kingdom of heaven and the American dream.
Talk about it.
Well, it's not simply that we want to live into the kingdom of heaven and live into the American dream, but rather in syncretism is when you begin to believe that living into the kingdom of heaven is actually fulfilling your American dream.
Wow.
So we are birthed into a nation where we are taught entitlement against God. If you think that you will just naturally not have that, you all have already have probably been in rebellion against God in this way. Because we come this way in this nation. But after all of his entitlement, what did we say last week? God will use both your foolish decisions and unforeseen disaster in order to break you out of your delusional days of independency. In other words, God will use both you and it to remind you of your need for him.
Yeah.
Nobody gave him anything, verse 20, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. The first portion of grace is a portion called forgiveness. And I just want to say that forgiveness begins with repentance.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And this repentance began with remorse. And this remorse began with recognition. And what did this recognition begin with? Remembrance.
Wow, that's good.
Wow, that's good.
Remembrance. If we remembered more, we would probably rebel less.
Come on, that's good. That's a good word. That's good.
That's great.
And what particularly does he remember? It's not everything about his dad. He doesn't remember the fun things that he and his dad did. It wasn't the games that they played. It wasn't the way that he treated them. What he remembers about his dad is his dad's generosity.
Yeah.
Say generosity.
Generosity.
He remembered his father's generosity. Say generosity.
Generosity.
He remembered his father's generosity. Say generosity.
Generosity.
And he began to compare his father's generosity with the world's greed.
Mm, wow.
And he noticed, yo, there's a massive distinction between my father's generosity and people's greed. For certainly somebody could have given him something to feed himself. But no one gave him anything. And yet in his father's house, not only were the kids eaten, but the slaves were eaten as well. He said, yo, I was a son, so I ate good, like good. But now that I remember, now that I look back, even the people who were on the outskirts were eating far better than the people I'm serving right now. The poorest in my father's house were wealthier than the wealthiest in the world. And it is because of his dad's generosity he comes to his senses. There's two things about his dad that he notices. He notices both that his dad is wealthy and willing.
Wow.
Wealthy and willing.
That's good.
Wealthy and willing. There are some people who are willing. Think Mother Teresa. They will give and give and give and give and give. I had a grandmother who is willing. My grandmother will give anything because she is willing. But my grandma ain't wealthy. Then there are people who are wealthy.
Yeah.
Think Jeff Bezos. Steve Jobs. And if they were Mother Teresa in their willingness, we would solve a lot of the poverty problem that we have. See, most of the time in this world, people are either wealthy or willing. But this son had a father who was both wealthy and willing. In other words, it was Mother Teresa with Jeff Bezos' resources. This, for me, is a portrait of the Almighty God, who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, who in Acts chapter 17, Paul says, owns absolutely everything because he created everything. And yet this father who created everything is not greedy. He's not stingy. He doesn't hog it, but instead shares all that he has with us who were rebelling against him. Wealthy and willing. And it was his father's wealthy and willingness that actually helped him to come to his senses. Do you remember how wealthy and willing your father is as well? Yeah. Notice the text. Then I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Can I say this? I need y'all to hold to this. Please hold to this. This one phrase. I see notes moving and all of that. Thank y'all, but I need y'all to hear this. This son, who is actually a son, but because of his decisions, his own decisions, has separated himself from his own sonship. And this son recognizes that and comes and says, I am unworthy of this status.
Wow.
Can I just say something to you very clearly? You are not worthy of forgiveness until you recognize that you are not worthy of forgiveness.
Yeah, come on. That's good.
It's true.
I am like to the end of my rope with like believing pastors teaching entitled grace. Where we come to the Father assuming that he should forgive us.
Wow.
Assuming that we should receive mercy.
Yeah.
Assuming that he should be patient with us. Assuming that he should just move past what we did last night and move on to the next day. Assuming that everything we've done in our BC days should be forgotten and everything we've done in our AD days should be remembered. And if you like us, like myself and Pastor Meech, when most of your sinning was actually in your AD days, you just come entitled daily.
Yes, sir.
Right, come on.
This son has no sense of entitlement towards being called son again. He's simply asking for scrap grace.
Wow.
And he said, if I could get scrap grace, that would be enough. And we come to God the Father asking for the whole shebang. And when we don't get it, we act like entitled brats who say, if you don't do this for me, I refuse to obey you.
Wow, wow, wow. My goodness.
Do we not have a gospel that makes our obedience predicated on the amount of goodness we feel from God?
Wow.
Guys, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I believe in my heart of hearts, yes, that there has been grace poured out for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ on the cross when he cried, Tetelestai, it is finished. But hear me on this. May we never take Tetelestai for granted.
Yeah, that's right.
May we always remember that we are unworthy to receive the Tetelestai.
Yeah.
And it is in us remembering that we were unworthy to receive the Tetelestai that we actually receive the Tetelestai for what it actually is. Because hear me, when you assume grace, you never really experience it. Now back to the text. So he says, I should now be called your son. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. That's where we stopped last week. And what I said last week is that if verse 20a doesn't show up, this is not repentance.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
This is remorse. Do y'all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Repentance means there must be a turning. You got to get up. You got to move. Remorse and repentance are not the same thing. I have seen many remorseful people, and few of them actually repented. Can I just say that even clearer? As a pastor, the people I've seen who were the most remorseful were actually the least repentant. Because though they came with a wordy repentance, it was not weighty. But he actually repents. And this, guys, is the shouting portion of the text, because this is where you begin to see extravagant restoration. Yeah. Notice the text. This is, and man, I hope we learn to slow down and read the Bible like we're doing on Sunday mornings, because there's so much goodness in this text. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off. I'll read that again because maybe y'all didn't catch that. But while he was still a long way off. Maybe I'll read it like some of our other passages might say it. But God being rich in mercy. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared. But when we were still enemies. But while he was still a long way off. But God. This is one of those but gods, and but God is the very reason why the blind see, why the lost are found, why the dead are alive, why the sinners are called saints. It all comes down to but God.
Amen.
But God. But God is the claw in Toy Story 3. Y'all remember Toy Story 3? Third one. It was that, I don't even know why they made four, but the Forky, or Sporky, or whatever his name is. Toy Story 3 was one of the most intense Pixar scenes you could ever experience. And I experienced it in the theater.
Yes.
I've been friends with Woody and Buzz for a long time, with Rex and Slinky for a long time. I've been friends with all of these toys for years because I've been watching them since 96 when they came out. And then Toy Story 3, they're on that belt. That conveyor belt, and it shoots them towards the light, and they thought the light was the daylight, only to realize that this was a non-extinguishing flame.
Right.
And they are noticing the flame, and they're trying to climb out, to which they realize there is no climbing out of this situation.
Right.
They are on their way to the eternal flame. But then the claw comes down just when it looks like they were going to start melting away from the heat of the fire and pulls all them jokers out and sets them into safety.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
If you don't know that Toy Story is preaching the gospel to you, I'm just here to tell you that's what God did for you. We ourselves were in a conveyor belt because of our sin. And we can say, oh, I tried the right thing and I tried the wrong thing and I tried the right thing and I tried the wrong thing, and hopefully my right things will outdo my wrong things. No, you're on a conveyor belt of wrong things. And the conveyor belt is taking you towards the eternal flame. And just when you were about to start melting away from the heat of hell, the claw, Jesus Christ, but God rescued you out of the pit of hell and placed you into safety in the bosom of his Father. Yes. But God.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
But God. But while he was a long way off.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, 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 wow.
Some of y'all are still a long way off. But while you're a long way off right now, some of y'all have felt what it's like to be a long way off. And you knew what it was like for him to come after you while you were in the muck and mire.
Yeah.
I remember God coming after me while I was in the pig slop.
Yep.
While I was in my vomit.
Yep.
While I was still doing my deeds. Yep. But while we were still a long way off. Notice the text. Four things. His father saw him. Say saw.
Saw.
He felt compassion. Say felt.
Felt.
And ran. Say ran.
Ran.
And embraced him. Say embraced him.
Embraced.
And kissed him. Oh, this is beautiful, y'all. He saw. He felt. He went. And he took action.
Yeah.
He saw. He felt, he went, and he took action.
Yeah.
He saw, he felt, he went, and took action. Jesus is such a masterful storyteller. I don't know if you've heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan, but the same four things are said in that text as well.
Wow.
He saw, he felt, he went, and he took action. And do you not know that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
He saw you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
While you were in the midst of your sin.
Yep.
And your rebellion. Yep. And your ugliness. And the ways in which you sin against God. Not just by mistake. Yeah. But on purpose. Your first degree rebellion. Your rebellion in the first degree. He saw you in that.
Yeah.
And he felt for you.
Yep.
I love the fact that we get both parables in the Gospel of Luke. Don't miss this, yo. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about a man who was caught in suffering. The parable of the prodigal son is about a man caught in sin.
Wow.
And in both places, nothing changes on the part of the Savior.
Yeah.
Wow.
He still sees.
Yes.
And he still feels compassion.
Wow, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the living God that he does not, like us humans, only have compassion for sufferers.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
That's like sometimes.
But our God also has compassion for sinners.
Yeah.
Wow, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Good.
He felt compassion. And notice the text. He doesn't stand there and wait for the son to come in. He doesn't even stroll. This is not a light morning jog. And in this culture, this is undignified for a dad to do this. Because dads were prestigious, patriarchal. They had dignity. So for him to go booking, running, chasing after his son is a portrait of how God humbled himself in Jesus and came getting undignified for us to let us know that we will never make it to him. So he had to come make it to us.
That's good.
Not only does he run, but he took action. And our Lord Jesus Christ took some action, didn't he?
Yeah.
He took action. As he lived his life in submission to people who never submitted to him.
Yeah.
He took action as he got upon a cross, a bloody cross, and suffered for us. And he took his greatest action after being actionless for one day. And lying actionless for 2 days. But early Sunday morning, on that third day, he took the greatest action of all by rising from the dead. Powerfully and victoriously, and then he ascended into heaven, where he set up restoration. Notice the text. This is so good, y'all.
Yeah.
Woo. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I love this so much. I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I got to give y'all the scene again. The son, you ever done this before? When you had to go to your parents and you knew you was like in trouble, you did something bad, and so you like practice it in a mirror. So you like go to the mirror, like, all right, I'm gonna say this, Joe. I'm gonna, all right, Dad. Like, I was tripping. Now, he don't even want me to talk like that, man. I wasn't in my right mind. There we go. Ooh, that's good. I wasn't in my right mind. Oh, that, I like how that flows. I wasn't in my right mind, Dad. And I know you should kick me out, but I pray you should show mercy. Ooh, that sounds good. And then you go and you say what you need to say to your parent after you practice it in the mirror. So he practices showing in the mirror. Hi, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Call me one of your servants. I'm not worthy to be called you one of your servants. And so then he finally sees his dad. And his dad takes off towards him.
Yeah.
And runs and embraces him. And kisses him.
Wow.
You missed something crazy already. He hasn't repented yet. The embrace. The kissing. The forgiveness. Came before he can even get it out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Which shows you that your father has pre-prepared restoration.
That's good.
Wow.
That's
thank
good.
You, Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Y'all know how we are. Somebody do us wrong? And we gotta process our forgiveness.
Right.
No, yeah. So, man, if they ever. If they ever apologize, I don't even know. It might take me 6 months.
Right.
And then when he do, actually do it. I didn't feel real. They didn't seem legit. Say that again. I just need how your eyes look. God, the Father. Before you can even get the words out.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
Has prepared forgiveness.
Wow.
You ever been to a black cookout? Black cookout. Black cookout. The black one. Gotta be real clear. And I'm sorry, because that's my culture. That's why I know the most. So black cookout. Because I've also been to white cookout. It don't work the same. Black cookout. Fourth of July, we having a cookout at 3 p.m. Y'all know what to do. Don't show up at 3.
Please.
For some of y'all, we multicultural here. Perfect unity. I'm letting y'all know, don't show up at 3. So before July to come around, y'all show up at 3 and then you mad. Your pastor told you don't do it. Because when the Jones say 3 p.m., that's when we start cooking.
Exactly. Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
For some, that's when they start showering.
Right.
To get ready to cook.
Right. Girl, and even
yes.
And that joint used to make me so mad. And like, I was just like, it said stress me out. So, I got to this point where I was like, all right. The food's not gonna be ready. Let me eat to get prepared to eat.
Yes.
Anybody
yes.
done that on a cookout yes. day?
Yep.
You gotta eat to get prepared to eat because you ain't gonna eat when you show up.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Even when you, I'm gonna stagger that joint on 4:30.
Right.
That's enough time. The joint's still sizzling though. Maybe, I still gotta put the maybe on there because not always. There's nothing worse then showing up to a place where you're looking for a meal and the meal ain't been prepared yet.
Ooh, yeah, that's hard.
God's meal of mercy
wow.
is always prepared.
Wow.
So that whenever you show up,
yes.
the forgiveness is ready.
Yes.
It has been marinating since the foundation of the world.
Yeah,
it was
good.
Put in the refrigerator in the intertestamental period.
Come
and
on.
Then it was taken out of the fridge in the Gospels, thrown on the fire when he was put on the cross, taken off the fire through his resurrection. And then, hallelujah, little Caesars.
Yeah.
It is always served hot and ready through the fire of the baptism of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Prepared mercy. But it ain't just that. This father goes crazier. He get done talking. You got to see the scene. This is crazy. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants. He doesn't respond to the son. Jesus, I read the text, yo. I'm in the Bible. The father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. I got to show you the scene again. So the son in the mirror. I have sinned against heaven and before you. I ain't worthy to be called your son. Call me your servant. Sinning heaven before you. I ain't worthy to be called your son. And worthy. He's just repeating that John as he's walking up. His father comes. And as soon as he sees his father, you got to see him, man. Like he been gone and all of his dumb decisions. And his father came and hugged him. So this is, y'all ever like I got this word. It's called like snobbing. Where like you've been sobbing and you sobbing so bad you start snotting. You ever done that before?
Yep.
And it's snobbing. You just, it's just all just disgusting right here. So the son is snobbing on his dad. You can just see him hold his dad. I can't believe. That's like, just take your time. Boy. Like, it's crazy. Finally, the son, he said, I said, for you, I have no heart for it to be called your son, but call me by your servants. The father hears the son, says, got you.
You.
Yo, Damar, Alex, tell
me. You.
Now, you see them? That's my son. Y'all ain't met my son. Meet my son.
Hi. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
My son just came home. And this is my son. This is my baby boy right here. I need y'all to like go out the works extravagant with this. So Damar, I need you to work with the steak. And Damar, I know how you be. You be going to McDonald's and calling it steak that is not steak. It's a burger. Capital Giro Ministry, you hear what I'm saying? I need Chloe. Alex, don't you start with me. We are not going to no cheap Target for this. We are going to Millennium Mall and you gonna give me Louis Vuitton. And don't give me that knockoff brand in the middle of the store. That's bootleg. I need the real stuff. And I need you, Tim, I can't even ask Tim because he's going to go to the candy machine. Yo, hey, Rachel, you come. Because I know you like diamonds. My son needs a ring and I need you to get that. And, oh, where my homie? Oh, my goodness. Where he at? My shoe head, my sneaker head. Yo, Felix, I need you to get some sneakers from my man, and I need you to put them joints on. And the servants are looking at the son like this guy must be really important, not knowing that this dude is in utter rebellion. Oh my goodness, y'all. I've been in school for a long time, still in school. I've never been in a class where a kid got suspended from school because they fought. And upon their return, the teacher says, hey, recap's coming back. I got suspended a lot. Recap's coming back to class. And to honor and celebrate his return to class, we're going to throw him a pizza party.
Wow.
Been in school a long time. I've never seen it. And yet this father goes all out for this son who rebelled against him. The son has spoiled his clothes in his own rebellion. So the father says, I'm going to give you better clothing. The son stuck his middle finger up at the father. So he said, I'm going to put up the ring on the finger that you stuck up at me in rebellion. The son took off running. So he said, you know what? I'm going to get you new shoes that you wore out when you ran away from me. This is total restoration to a degree that even human words literally cannot communicate.
Wow, that's good.
And we take it for granted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you guys see what God has done for you? Do you really see it? Do you get the portrait? God celebrates you after you got yourself suspended. Restores back to you everything that you yourself threw away when you were rebelling against the one who restores you. Do you see how good God is? I want to close with this. I shared about my wife's story, but I know I want to share about mine. I too played hide and seek with my mother when I didn't tell her I was playing hide and seek. And we were in JCPenney, and I hid in the dresses, and I got lost. So my mom can't find me, and she's looking for me, and I can't find her because my decision made a separation, created a distance between us. So because I couldn't see her anymore because of the distance that was created, my mom goes to the store clerk. And she says to the store clerk, hey, I can't find my son. Can you call him over the intercom? The lady, the store clerk, says, absolutely. What's his name? And then over the loudspeaker, Richard Gray, can you please come to the front? Your mother is looking for you. If y'all don't know, I got Richard, Rachel, Rebecca. I got it all growing up, all of them. And over the loudspeaker, I hear my name being called. And so I go to the front, so that I might be once again unified with my parent.
Come on, Doc. Come on.
Parent gets separated from child. But because there is a distance, parent goes to a mediator.
Ooh, come on.
Who can communicate with both the parent and the child. So that parent and lost child might be once again reconciled and live happily ever after.
Wow.
Preach, bro.
That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were a lost child because you wanted to go and have fun. You wanted to play games. You wanted to experience the pleasures of life and do your own thing. But then fun turns to fear when you realize that there is a separation between you and your parent. But praise God, the parent turns to the mediator, who happens to be his actual son. And he says, yo, I need you to go out and call my children back to me. And because the mediator can communicate with both parent and child, he is able to bring together lost child and parent and reconcile them back together so that they might live happily ever after.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
But this mediator could not simply say it.
Yeah.
As the writer of Hebrews says, his blood had to cry out.
Yeah.
But with the vocalization of his blood and the loudspeakers of his resurrection,
yeah,
he then ascends into heaven and calls each one of you by name to come to the front,
yeah,
so that you might be reconciled back with your Father. Come, Matt. Your Father's waiting on you. Come, Brittany. Your Father's waiting on you. Come, Key. Your Father's waiting on you. Come, Oscar. Your Father's waiting on you. Come, John. Kina. Your Father is waiting on you. Come. Your dad is waiting on you. Come back. He's waiting on you. And for some of you, you haven't yet heard that name. You haven't yet heard your name being called. But today is the day that he is calling you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come to the front. The mediator is calling. Yes. He simply wants to bring you, the lost child, and your heavenly Father back into family again.
Yeah.
It is only through Jesus Christ, this great mediator, that we were once dead and are alive.
Yeah.
We were lost, but now we were found. And the only way that the lost could be found was that the only Son actually be dead and be alive forevermore.
Oh.
Amen.